It's going to be hard for me to stay back behind this podium because I'm an interactive person. So if I start to stray, grab my coattail, like, get back over here.
I need a hook.
Yeah, a hook. But I am very much an interactive person, so I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes for a moment and take yourself back to your undergraduate college years. Think about yourself as a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, a senior. Think about any weight awareness, weight concerns, weight perceptions that you may have had during those undergraduate years. How did you feel about your weight? What did you think about your weight? What did you do about your weight? Did you have any experiences in a classroom that made you aware of your weight? Did you have any experiences on campus that made you aware of your weight? Did you have interactions with certain individuals that made you aware of your weight? Now you can open your eyes. Keep all of that in the back of your head as we go through the rest of this presentation. Okay? So, my disclosure, because you have to. How we're going to do this, how I'll do this today is I'm going to go over a brief historical and current perspective just to put it into context of why weight matters so much in college, not just for college students, but colleges are concerned about students' weights as well, which puts even more concern into the students' minds. Then I'll talk about my research, the psychosocial aspects of weight among college students in the college environment, and the theoretical model that's emerging out of this. It was a grounded theory study that I did. And the theoretical model includes weight awareness as its core construct as it relates to psychosocial development, and with three phases that were identified: weight concerns and conflicts, weight commitment, and then weight acceptance. And the Hayes model really fits in nice with the weight concerns and conflicts, which I'll talk about, and why we need it in college. So student health has been a concern for colleges for well over 100 years. Are there any ACHA people in here? American College Health? Yeah! Woohoo! But student health has been a concern for well over 100 years. And not just health, but weight as well, but not necessarily incongruent with each other. So weight especially and health became a concern, especially during the late 19th to early 20th centuries, when college became more accessible to women and minorities. Because at first women weren't really allowed to go to college. And then in the late 1800s, women were allowed to go to college. Certain colleges became co-ed. But there was a large criticism from a group of people, very conservative, that didn't think women should go to college. So colleges began the practice of monitoring student health, and not so much in the best interest of the student's health, but to maintain a status quo of elite students. And colleges began to require physical exams to enter college, denying entrance to anyone deemed physically undesirable. Think they could get away with that today? Female college students were weighed regularly, usually weekly, in response to a strong conservative criticism that college would damage the female apparatus. These are the exact words of Mr. Edward Clark. Anybody know his work? Very strange, bizarre person. The feminist in me gets really upset when I read female apparatus. I am a machine. For making, you know what. And I have two, anyway. So colleges also began to implement policies requiring participation in hygiene programs to rehabilitate, I love that word, rehabilitate student bodies that were not deemed appropriate for college. Isn't this interesting? I'm fascinated by this stuff. Male students were weighed as well, but only when entering college, and this was used to predict success in completing college, not for health. So female college students continued to be weighed until about the mid-1970s by some colleges. Most colleges were starting to get rid of the weighing of college students, but by the 1970s there were still a handful, mostly women's colleges, that were still weighing their female students. Do you think we could get away with that today? Oh, I would be... Well, you want to see me protest. But students were also concerned with their weights and bodies. It wasn't just the colleges. Female college students, knowing that critics didn't want them in college and the threat of being removed from college if underweight, not overweight, would host weekly food parties and the goodie packages mothers would send to keep their daughters in college. So we can thank our early mothers from the late 1800s for creating that goodie package that college students get. How many moms in here of college students? Do you send that goodie package? Do you send it? Yeah. And so the girls would host food parties once a week to keep themselves fat or gain weight or not to lose weight. So the female college student at this time, so this is the late 1800s, early 1900s, the female college student at this time actively decided to not conform to the overall societal ideal in appearance with the corseted waist and instead created their own identity as female college students with a more athletic appearance. And they did participate in athletics as well, which was not condoned. Females, women were not supposed to participate in athletics at that time. So colleges continue to be concerned with student weight, but the emphasis shifts towards thinness as it does for students as well. By the 1920s, the shift, the female college students start to adopt a thin ideal, which is becoming more pervasive in the general society because we have the flappers coming out. So the college, female college students are more matching what overall society is asking for as well. But then in 1967, the New York Times published an article, College Admission Hint, Lose Weight. And this article was taken, cited from a study, the New England School Study, that had been published the year previously in 1966. And it was to look at mobility and success to going into college. And the study found that overweight female students were two-thirds less likely to go to college than their thinner peers. The study also found that regardless of socioeconomic status of the family, so regardless of what your socioeconomic status was before you entered college, if you were overweight, you were less likely to complete college, but you were doomed. These are the words. Boy, aren't these familiar. Comes back. These students were doomed to a lower socioeconomic status just because of their weight, regardless of what their family's socioeconomic status was. This isn't me. This is the article. But this continues. In the 1990s, Crandall found that overweight female college students were found to be less likely to receive financial assistance to go to college, including from their own families, and were more likely to be forcibly removed and overall less likely to enter college. There were two cases. One made it to the state Supreme Court in Massachusetts. Another one didn't make it to the state Supreme Court in Missouri, where overweight women were forcibly removed from college. They were told to either lose weight or else. They didn't lose weight, so they were forcibly removed. And today we have a sociologist out of UT, Austin Krosno. He's kind of doing the front end of what I'm looking at. He's looking at high school students and I'm looking at college students. And he found that overweight high school seniors are less likely to attend college as a result of the perceived discrimination they expect to experience while in college, being stigmatized because of their weight while in college. So colleges continue to be concerned with student weight and health. Several colleges provide health and wellness courses for all students as electives. Some colleges have considered requiring such courses, and one, I don't know if any of you remember this, Lincoln University. Does anybody remember this story? Yeah, it really upset me. Lincoln University in 2006 required obese students, because they weighed students when they came in freshman year, and anyone whose BMI was calculated to be in the obese category were required to participate in a health course in order to graduate. In fall 2009, several seniors received letters that they would not be able to graduate until they took the course. The students took action and the course is no longer required, and they were allowed to graduate. The course had nothing to do with their major. It was just a requirement because of their weight. And I had an opportunity to converse with some of those students from Lincoln University, and most of the ones that I conversed with through email were not obese. They were average weight students. But they were just as adversely affected by that policy as the obese students were. Why separate out a group of students because of weight? So, talking about my study. So it was a qualitative study using interviews, and I too had well over 100 pages of raw data. Very time consuming, but I love qualitative research. You can't get me to do quantitative. You just can't get me to do it. No, not going to happen. It was grounded theory, qualitative, using interviews, field notes. I did have them fill out a short form of like a biographical sketch, because that helped me kind of frame the questions that I was going to ask them during the interviews. And I came up with this theoretical model of weight awareness that includes weight concerns and conflicts, which isn't surprisingly expressed as occurring during freshman into sophomore year for some. Then moving into another phase of weight commitment and consolidation of identity. And then weight acceptance and a living weight. And most of the people that got into the weight acceptance were seniors. And most of my participants were seniors. The findings, there were major thematic categories. Weight is more than a number, which shouldn't be surprising. When I just asked you to think about weight when you were an undergraduate student, did you think about the specific number that it was? Did you? Did you really? Ooh, no. That's terrible. Another major thematic category was the span between perceived ideal weight and perceived real weight. So all of the students, especially the females, but I did have males as well. It was males and females, African American, Asian American, European American students. But all the students, especially the females, came to college with this perceived ideal weight that they should be to look like a college student. I wanted to look like a college girl that I thought I should be. And then the perception of their real weight. Most of them were pretty accurate in their description of weight, and I didn't use terms like obesity. If they used it, then okay, but I left it up to them. Then interactions with others and the college environment. Dorm rooms was a big one for increasing weight awareness, but there were several classroom experiences that made individuals aware of their weight. Other conversations, parents during freshman visit, the family week. Don't say anything. And then coping strategies to manage weight concerns and conflicts. Some of the coping strategies involved attempts to change weight, but a lot of it involved concealing weight or managing weight, negotiating a space so as not to bring attention to one's body or weight. And coping strategies often involved what should have been healthy but wasn't. And the students said that they knew this wasn't a healthy behavior that they were using. They did talk about nutrition and diet, but diet to lose weight, not to be healthy. Physical activity and exercise was also discussed, and most of them in the weight concerns and conflicts avoided physical activity because they didn't want to be judged for not looking like they fit in. So some of what the students said: I thought I had to be thin here. I want to look like a college girl, what I think a college girl should look like. For most students, I think it's all about appearance and not at all about health. It's pretty important to look a certain way, or at least try to look a certain way. I go to the gym, but I go to lose weight, not to be healthy. That's Melissa, and she was a freshman when I interviewed her. I definitely did not try to lose weight to improve my health. I wasn't worried about my health at all. I worried about my weight so I could be accepted and look like a college student that I thought I should look like. And that's Steffi, who is a female, senior now. I remember sophomore year specifically. I was very aware of my weight the whole year, but now I have friends and we're not all about appearance, but more about having fun. So I don't really worry about my weight that much anymore. This one girl that's not a friend anymore, she wanted us to rate each other on appearance. Last spring I did study abroad. I gained weight and I knew I would, but it was worth it. I wanted to enjoy the whole culture. So she's starting to move away from this weight concerns and conflicts and more towards a weight commitment and being a college student, embracing that identity of being a college student. Several students made similar statements about participating in study abroad during junior year. Study abroad seemed to be a positive transitional situation for these students. On their return, they increased their investment in being a college student and adopted a focus on health and described a diminished emphasis on meeting a weight ideal to look like a college student. Then moving on to weight acceptance and a living weight, according to the BMI, I'm obese. But I look in the mirror and I like what I see. This is Rachel, a senior. I knew I was the heaviest runner in the group, but I want to be a runner. I'm going to run. I don't know if you're going to make it, said her running coach. You don't have a runner's body. You're not built like a runner. What if we replace that with college student? You're not built like a college student. I don't think you're going to make it. I've become significantly less concerned with weight. I have so many other things to think about. I know that my body is something that is stable and I should take care of, love, feed it, nourish it. Then George, and I love George, George Cooper. That was his, they got to choose their pseudonyms. Do you all know who George Cooper is? No, anyway. He was a football player, I think. I was the biggest in my dorm. I knew I would be. I expected that. Health is the biggest concern about my weight. I want to be a doctor. I know the adverse effects of weight on health, and I know the other factors. Being able to be more active is better for a longer life. So I need to be healthy. He goes to the gym. I use the gym. I go to the gym 3 times a week. My weight concerns aren't enough to keep me out of the gym. I go to the gym anyway. It doesn't bother me, though I know it's hard for some overweight students that would like to go to the gym but don't want to be seen at the gym. And what's really funny is most of the participants that were average weight were the least likely to go to the gym because of their body image perceptions, because I don't look like I fit in, so I'm not going to the gym. So health. Weight is all about appearance and not at all about health. I'm trying to lose weight now. I know I should be concerned about my health, but she isn't. So I think it should be more health concerns and not an ideal appearance, but I know I don't. This year now, I'm focusing more on health because I know when I work out, I can study more. I think that once you get into that mindset, you're going to get healthy. You can do it. I'm not really trying to lose weight, but I'm trying to eat healthy and more so for my health, since high cholesterol runs in my family. A lot of my friends have scary weights and goal weights they want to be at. Scary weight is what we want to avoid. My goal weight is 120. My scary weight is 130. It's 10 pounds. What's so wonderful about 120? I can hear her thinking this through as she's talking to me in the interview. But I can be 130 and fit and 120 and flabby. The pit. I don't really go to the gym. I don't go because I feel like I don't belong there. And I don't want someone to wonder why I'm there if I don't look in shape. I don't go to the gym. I didn't go to the gym at all at first. Now I go to the gym to swim mostly. And I like running, but only outside. I'm training for a half marathon. I can't run on a treadmill in the gym. And I'm next to someone else who's usually thinner. I used the gym freshman year, but I was overwhelmed. It made me uncomfortable. The gym was so competitive, everyone comparing themselves. I felt very intimidated by the pit and the regulars who have a routine. It made me feel exposed being in the pit and made me feel fat. During freshman year, I went a few times, but I didn't like it. The girls were way too skinny comparing myself to them. So you can see this, the same thing. These students are avoiding going to the fitness center because there's this expectation of looking the part. dieting. One of my roommates this year is on Weight Watchers, and she's not even fat. She's not even as big as me, but she has to lose weight, she thinks. My roommate would put pictures up, speaking of Victoria's Secret. Models on the fridge as motivation. Don't open this door if you want to look like these women. My friends are weird with food. They put down food you're eating, being really critical of each other's food choices. Lots of girls, they binge drink and then don't eat anything. They don't eat. The last one, George, it's not like I'm going on a diet just to lose weight. I just live a different lifestyle now. Well, we already went over the Hayes model, so I won't go over it, but you can see that what these students were saying during these different phases, and especially during weight concerns and conflicts, that the Hayes model could so... I don't want to take away that conflict so much as give them a tools to resolve that conflict. And I think the Hayes model really presents a useful tool for these students to be able to resolve that conflict of, should I look like a college student or should I be a college student? Should I look healthy or be healthy? And then that's, recommendations, because I know my time is up.